kind of ghosting last week. My brother's wife got told she had a year to live, and he's the one that I farm with, and my life kind of got turned upside down for here lately. So I'm kind of trying to keep everything above water at the moment.
Imagine so, man. I'm sorry to hear that. I'm glad you can join us. But guys, we are going to start. One thing in your life you're most proud of. And Ryan, I'm going to start with you.
All right. I think turning my life around and my grip that I have on my kind of my addiction and everything. I have a checkered past and been to prison and all that, and was able to turn my life around to what it is now, which is pretty awesome, you know. And so not just you know, I still have a lot of those like tendencies that I work on. I still, you know what I mean, but to go from where I was to now, I'm pretty proud of that.
I'd say so. Awesome, man. JT, how about you, buddy? What's one thing that you're proud of? Or your most proud?
I think, you know, just getting put on the spot here, sitting at work, our employee development program that we have and training, we bring people in with no industry experience, and just being able to watch them flourish and having put that program together over the last 10 or 12 years has been pretty exciting.
Right so, on.
Yeah.
Watch.
Yep.
Cool, man. Justin, how about you, buddy? What's one thing you're most proud of in your life?
I would have to say my ranches. Driving around, I got the cream of the crop. I mean, they're especially this time of year, they're looking pretty tits, especially particular to my neighbors. I got a lot of good employees that buy in to the value, that do the job right. Instead of rushing through it and breaking shit, going through it, my message of perfection gravitates through the employee base. And really driving around right now, relative to others and neighbors, I'm proud of their achievements and what they've done for me.
Awesome. Very cool. Jared, I know you're driving, but you're next on my list.
Did he just say ranches? Because we need to talk if so.
Yeah. I thought the same thing.
Oh, man. Most proud of, I would say, my character. Ever since I was a little kid, just had really good character. And in my journey to success, I've always said, you know, on my climbing the ladder, I've never had to step on anybody to get where I'm going. So just proud of my character.
Awesome. I love that. David, I'm coming back to you, buddy. You're on mute right now, my friend.
Sorry. What I'm most proud of, I don't know. I'd have to say my kids, just that they are growing up to be incredible young women.
Love it. What besides your kids? So what are you most proud of besides your kids? That was my disclaimer.
Okay. Besides my kids. Sorry, I missed that. Probably just this path that I'm on, trying to use self-improvement of myself and trying to make myself a better person, and going down this journey and sticking with it.
Love it. Let's take the word trying out, because you're doing it.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, fair enough.
Awesome. Love it, man. Chris, what's one thing in your life you're most proud of besides kids? Can't use kids, guys.
Hey, besides kids, I'd probably just say kind of the success I've had in my life. I grew up in poverty, and like Jerry and I were joking about some of our childhood businesses, and he goes, it sounds like there's like a South Park episode, and that's kind of like how my childhood really was. So I think just kind of where it came from poverty, and my mom had been married 5 times, and like, you know, I've been held on to my marriage and actually kind of came out of that kind of that world and living a much different life than what you would expect a kid coming from that would be. So
that's awesome, man. I'd love to hear more of that story sometime. Greg, how about you, buddy? What's one thing in life you're most proud of?
So I'm thinking my investment in others. started kind of in high school and through college. I've always just enjoyed that process of investing in other people.
That's a great thing to do. Love it. I'm bouncing around. You guys are moving around my screen, so I got to make sure I don't miss anybody here. But Steven.
I think for me, it was the courage to switch for a career, from spending 20 years in IT into the cheese world. I mean, I'd done what I was best at academically, and at the point where I was like, well, maybe I've done something different. Taking something which was an interest, a hobby, where there wasn't really necessarily any obvious demand for it, and building it to a business that we were, and we won 2 years ago, best specialty cheese retailer in the UK against some pretty big hitters. I was, in fact, just unbelievably proud at the time. So, you know, to make that transition, and I didn't realize the courage I had to do it, because it would have been too easy just to stay in that old path.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, awesome, man. I love those stories. All right. Greatness lies outside the comfort zone. Force of nature, Tony. What's one thing besides your kids you're most proud of?
I think for me, I'd have to say that, you know, coming from different country, coming from Ireland as a young kid to the US, and just digging deep and finding what I really want to do, finding a love and passion in the construction industry and building a business from that, pretty much on my own, had no help. So I think the journey in that whole space and time is probably one of my biggest, proudest areas of my life. Yeah.
I love it, man. It's got to be in your story, buddy. It's got to be in your story.
It's in there somewhere.
All right, Keith, what's one thing besides your kids you're most proud of?
My tenacity, I would say. I had a lot of reason not to move forward or do things I wanted to do in life, and just continue to plow forward, whether things work or they don't work. I just keep on chugging.
That's a good skill, character to have, man. Nothing stop you there. Aaron, how about you, bud?
Thought I'd be soon. I think I have a lot of pride in just being positive and generally being nice to people. I know my sense of humor can be weird. Like I know I'm not for everyone, and I'm sort of at a point in my life where I'm fine with that. But I think I have very few like enemies and people that think I'm like very unenjoyable to be around, which I take a lot of pride in.
Nice, man. That's cool. I find you funny. So
thank you.
I'm twisted. I know I am. So it's all good. last but certainly not least, Mr. Pacheco.
Yeah, for me, it's going to be kind of similar to what Chris Andreasen said, just kind of breaking generational cycles. Grew up poor and on welfare and a lot of abuse, and my grandmother, my mother, all that. And so breaking those generational cycles of dysfunction and kicking ass.
Love it. Always cool. Guys, you look around, I mean, all of us have different stories, right? And all of these parts of the stories are kind of what we're talking about here. And these are elements you guys can weave into, you know, what it is for you as a leader. Right? What those things you're most proud of and the things that you've overcome, whether it be tenacity, whether it be going from a checkered past, whether it be going from poverty or switching careers or a character trait, this is what makes you uniquely you. And as we go in through this, the third week of this training, right, we're talking about how to be seen as a dominant leader in your industry. Well, there's a lot of people in your industry trying to do this. But kind of what makes you unique are some of these things. These are stories that you can, you know, roll out. When Tony talks about, you hear about a young kid from Ireland coming to the United States with almost nothing and then making an amazing family, career, life for himself. That's a story you want to hear. It's a movie, right? That makes Tony unique. If I'm Tony, I'm telling that story all the time, and then I'm tying it into my business, right? Going through there. And doing this for all of you guys, right? Having character, having, you know, switching careers and going into an industry that has no demand or seemingly, and becoming you know, one of the number one cheese shops, right, in your whole entire country. I mean, there's a lot to be done here. So what we're going to talk about today is we're going to expand upon this, guys. We talked about establishing authority. Sorry, I got sunlight coming in from my window right here. So if I keep moving around, that's why. But when you establish your authority, one way to do it, obviously, is your acumen in your industry. But another way, and what most people actually rely on, is not the degrees and certifications you have, but really it's your story. It's who you are, right? And what you've done in the industry. And these things help you knock down all the objections. And once you've done this, now we take that story and we become omnipresent, right? And that's what we're going to talk about today. And then the last week, we're going to talk about once you're omnipresent, how do you actually lead that tribe? So you could be the best in your industry. There's no doubt. But if people don't know about you, it's not going to help you at all. It's not going to help them, right? It's not going to serve them to their greatest ability. And this is where most entrepreneurs and business leaders, in my opinion, miss out. They hide in the shadows, right? They have a great story, but their story becomes, well, when I'm ready to do it, or I don't know what to post, Doug, or something along those lines. You need to be everywhere. You need to be seen where your customers are. The best place to do that, to be omnipresent right now, is social media. It's never been easier before. We all kind of know that, right? Everybody here is on social media, or you wouldn't be here, right? The powerful, most of you guys entered in the powerful man's world through a Facebook ad, right? Because you're on social media. If the powerful man, if Tim wasn't omnipresent, if I wasn't, or if anybody else involved, if we weren't on the platform we decided that we thought you guys would be on, you wouldn't see us. We wouldn't be able to help you, right? You need to be constantly putting yourself out there. And there's plenty of opportunities to do it. Maybe you're better on video. Well, Facebook's got a good video platform. TikTok's got a good video platform. LinkedIn now allows you to do LinkedIn Live. There's lots of opportunity. Maybe it's text. Pick the platform that's best for you. But the key here is really making it easy, keeping it simple, right? And the way you want to do this when you're keeping it simple, guys, we're jumping right into this. So stop me at any time. Like I said, if you have questions from the last ones or this one, I'm giving you guys a lot, but this is like the 30,000 foot overview, as I keep saying, is you want to revisit your client avatar. And I recommend picking one platform, maybe two to start with. Right? You're going to pick these two platforms and you're going to dominate on these two, right? The algorithms are consistently changing, right? But there's certain things that almost always work. For example, has anybody ever seen myself, Tim, or any other influencer post a question on Facebook, just a blanket question, right? Hey, how many of you guys want da-da-da? So what happens with those questions, as an example, and they're general, and maybe they're not industry specific, when you answer those questions, and the more people that answer them, right, the more likely you're going to see the rest of my posts, right? Yeah, it's curious and fun, but the algorithm is such that if I post a question like, who here likes bacon? That's a horrible example, but you get the idea. People raise their hands and what have you. Now, the next post could be something about industry specific, right? So you want to pick one or two platforms and really dominate on those. For most of you guys, it's going to be probably Facebook or LinkedIn is going to be one of the big ones that's going to be coming in. Nope. Yep. Yeah. And it's all about engagement. You're 100% right, Chris. You want to have that engagement, but pick those platforms and really see what's out there. But you want to review your avatar. And so what I see often going in is a lot of people say, hey, look, what you want to do here is I'm on Facebook, so therefore I'm going to go after it. But my avatar's on LinkedIn. Well, there's a disconnect there. Or what I see a lot of businesses do is they go to Instagram. I love Instagram, so that's where I'm going to go. But whoa, your clients are on Facebook. Your clients are somewhere else. So really focus that on going there. Aaron, but I'm starting to see the effects of my business and not being anywhere. Any suggestions? Absolutely. So you can have someone run your social media. There's also things like Hootsuite, Buffer, Meet Edgar, a bunch of these platforms that allow you to post to social media automatically, right? So you never have to actually go onto the platform. You will have to have an account, right? So you can get back on there, but you don't have to actually go onto that account itself. And I know a lot of entrepreneurs, and when I was coaching outside of the Powerful Man, I would have people delete their accounts, and they'll delete it off their phone and reinstall it when they have to go check something, right? You got to find your own barriers there.
Yeah, I kind of did that. It's not on my phone. I figured I'd just do it on my computer. This is probably a good topic for not this call, but yeah, now I'm just, I don't check it on my computer, and now I'm doing nothing. So I don't
Hootsuite,
know.
Hootsuite could be an option for you, right? Because you can have just streams. This is for everybody. You can also time post. It's going to lower your engagement. It just is, right? Because the platforms want you to post natively to them. But Hootsuite is an example. You can have streams. I used to monitor all the streams when I was monitoring my own brand doing this on all platforms. And so anytime someone mentions you, comments, you'll get an alert and you can go back there and you can comment through there and you never have to touch the platform.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a lot of other ones Thanks. We can do here. No, it's a great question. But so once you've picked your platform, guys, you want to have a really solid foundation, right? You want, sounds easy, especially you guys that are doing real estate and developing, but you need to make sure what you're posting and your images represent your brand. So LinkedIn's the most common one for me that I see is people have just horrible, you know, photo, they have the photo of themselves, but then they have a horrible shot at the top, right? Of what it is that represents their business or their brand, or they just throw their company logo up there. Right. Again, we're talking about your customer first, the hero's journey. Your customer doesn't care about your logo. You do. Your customer doesn't. So you want to talk to them really quickly, like on LinkedIn. What exactly does Michael Pacheco do? Right. I help consultants and coaches, you know, define their brand or whatever his elevator speech is. And you can go to sites like Fiverr or other things that are out there and have someone design this for you very inexpensively, $15, something like that. Get it professionally designed. Do the same for Facebook. Do the same for all your other platforms that you're going to be on, right? And if you can keep them homogenous from platform to platform, that's even better. Because a lot of people are going to look you up. So if I'm Googling, you know, Greg Dorsey, and I find Facebook comes up, I'm going to click on it. And I'll see Greg's Facebook, right? If I'm Greek, you know, or LinkedIn. And I want to see, are these accurate? Are they the same going through? So these are the things that we want to look at and really pay attention to as we're going through. And what I did is we have a cheat sheet. I'll put it in there. It's a checklist for social media. I recommend going through your profiles. We're doing it right now for all the staff members of The Powerful Man. Because a lot of the guys, what we know is if Franco Burrows reaches out to somebody, they're going to see who the heck is this guy, right? And if Franco's out, I'll have just pictures of him picking up girls in Eastern Europe, which seems to be Franco's hobby these days. You know, guys could be like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Yeah, they might be, it might be interesting, but you want to make sure you have that foundation. And then you want to really focus your energy on being there as much as possible, right? You want to show up and commit consistently. Yeah, Greg.
So for example, if you're talking about your hero or the person, your customer needs to be in that banner on LinkedIn, for example, I'll use Steven. Should it be people eating and enjoying what he provides, or should it be behind the scenes showing what he, the craftsmanship that goes into it, for example?
Depends on what his differentiating factor is. So I'll make, for example, that I'm Steven's ideal client for a second, right? Steven could say, I take the mystery out of buying amazing cheese. So, you know, so you can enjoy dinner and look good while doing it, something like that, right? Just that one liner that speaks to me. It talks about what he does, but what he does for me, the outcome that he gets, right? That I get. So that's great. Mine used to be, and might still be, but mine used to be something like get unstuck and get clarity, right? Just two things really quickly that make somebody want to drop down and learn more about my past, my history, et cetera. That's the key. Great question. You want to think of social media also though as a regularly scheduled TV show, right? A program. So if people start expecting you to go, if you start going live or you're posting on Tuesdays, most people are creatures of habit. Entrepreneurs, not as much, right? We're a little bit more all over the place. But most people are going to be creatures of habit. So if they're following you and you're sending out a social media platform or something along those lines, or you're posting, do it regularly. So if it's every Tuesdays is this post, make sure you get it on Tuesdays. So you can schedule these things, guys. You can schedule them natively on the platforms themselves. I do this a lot. So for The Powerful Man, what I'll do is I'll content batch, right? I'll write a bunch of content, let's say on Monday, schedule it on Monday, and it'll be for the next week or 2 weeks. It goes out, right? Nobody knows the difference. Because like Aaron, I'm almost never on Facebook. It looks like I'm all on it all day, but I just don't go on it. People, you know, I clean my messages out once or twice a week, maybe, or excuse me, actually less than that. So I schedule them, but I do schedule natively on the platforms, but you want to make sure that scheduling is consistent. And this is quite honestly the hardest thing for me to do. So how many of you are thinking, yeah, this sounds good, but I have no idea what to post? Anyone? Couple? That's the most common thing I hear from people. So I'm going to give you more ideas than you want, but you can come back to the recording and come through here, right? So some ideas are videos, your, you know, lives, your employees, company news, market data, articles and blog posts you can share in your industry, behind the scenes, contests, giveaways, influencers, other content, funny gifts. Like maybe you're Aaron and you got like, or you're like me and you have a sick sense of humor. You post it, you're going to find other people that have the same sense of humor. Animation, products, photos, user generated content is one of the best if you can get it. I'm not going to read through all of these because you guys can see them. But what I'll do is I'll come through these and I'll pick a few. And one of the best ways to establish authority in your industry is find the top three people in your industry who are already there, right? So I'll just make this up and we'll say Greg, Tony, and Aaron, because you guys are in a line right now with my screen where I'm looking at. If you guys are authorities in my industry or a sub niche in my industry, or you guys are authorities in an industry that has my ideal client, what I might do is say, hey, Greg, I have a question. I'm posting an article. I have a question for you if you'd answer. What's the number one thing in the industry that you think people are doing wrong? Right? Just shoot me back an email when you get a chance. Hey, Tony, same question. Hey, Aaron, same question. Right? Then I'm going to answer the question. What do four experts in this industry say about this? Greg is an established authority. Tony is. Aaron is. Automatically, I'm a perceived established expert in that context, right? Easy way to get content and splice your own information in there, right? Depending on what you're doing. Or you can use it, right? And I can say, Greg, just ask Greg for something, a piece of content. He shoots it back to me. I tag Greg. It shows up on his social media feed, his LinkedIn feed with me. Now all Greg's followers are seeing me. A lot of them are going to click over and start looking at what I have to say. Hopefully I have good stuff to say after that. So there's all kinds of things that you can do here, guys, to get really creative that you don't have to actually generate all the content. And I think a lot of people miss that. If you look at a lot of experts' pages, they don't generate a lot of their content. Right? Their content, they're really curators of content. Some are generated, but some are curators and some are actually just talking about other people's content. So find what works best for you. But the key here is really just doing it. Don't use the excuse, which I've done, and I'm sure a lot of people have done, is using the excuse of knowing, of saying, I don't know what to post to prevent you from posting. Because there's a lot of things in here, right? You can even post things you're learning from the powerful man. You can post things that are industry specific, or you can post news articles, right? The key here is you are the curator of content. Whether you're producing the content or curating it elsewhere, you're the guy, right, that people go to. And remember, not just because it's your industry doesn't mean you always have to post stuff about your industry. Because the people in there, I mean, if it's ranches or whatever it is that you're working with, those people have other interests just like you do. So make sure it's not always just industry specific. All right. The second step is we want to get them on our email list. There's only two things on the internet that you can own: your website URL and your email. You can't own Facebook. Facebook could change their algorithm overnight and you can lose millions of dollars. See companies do it all the time. Any social media platform. You want to drive them to your email list, right? The Powerful Man, we have over 20,000 people, business owners on our email list, right? We're consistently spending money, a lot of it, every month to drive people to the email list. Why? Because we can continually communicate to those people over a long period of time via email, right? So email marketing is critical. Allows you to directly connect with your clients. First, you got to build the list, right? All of you guys are on the Powerful Man's email list. Some of you guys are on my personal email list. Some of you guys are on tons. Everybody here, I guarantee, has checked email in the last 24 hours. right? Maybe you haven't checked Facebook or something else, but everybody checks email. It's just what some of the things most of us do. Then again, like social media, we want to be consistent here, right? One of the ways to build your list is by offering something of value, right? There needs to be a value exchange. So again, hey, would you like the Alpha Rise and Shine cheat sheet? Go ahead and put your email here and I'll send it to you, right? That's an example of it. Hey, do you want to know the 5 best cheeses to pair with a Pinot Noir, right? Put your email here and I'll get it over to you. You don't want to say, hey, give me your email and I'll give you news and updates, right? That's crap, right? No one wants news and updates. People want something tangible. So there's a value exchange there that you want to get. And the higher the value exchange is, the more likely someone's going to give you their real email. We all have alternate email accounts or filters or something, but you want the person's real email. And this is where it really becomes important to do this, right? Because this is your first connection. And the law of reciprocity states, and you guys know this, that if I give you something, you're going to want to give me something back in return and vice versa. So if I give you something of value, your natural tendency is going to be, okay, how do I repay this? You're not going to think about it consciously probably, but subconsciously you will. How can I repay this? And this goes for everything. B2B is no different. Right? B2B is really, we call it H2H, right? It's human to human at the end of the day. Email marketing, I'm making up, I can't remember the exact stat. Maybe Michael, you know this, but I think the ROI on email marketing for businesses is about 450%. Which is insane. It's by far the number one ROI with any marketing that's available. It shatters everything that's out there.
I don't know if that's the exact number, but yes.
Yeah, it could be 426, but it's over 400%. I know that for sure.
What about, I don't know. Do you feel like email though might be becoming like almost like junk mail? Like you get too much junk mail in your mailbox at home. Like the best thing I did was move, because I'm like, all the junk mail stopped, you know. And I don't know, I have all types of filters and stuff to delete damn near half the shit I get now because it's just too much.
Yep. So great question. People have been saying that for at least the last 10 years.
Yeah,
no, it's totally true. I can just tell you it works. Right. Michael plays in this sandbox every day. So he's by far the expert here. But I can also tell you that my guess is you check the emails that are valuable to you. The rest are junk. And a trick with email marketing is if I can get you to reply to an email, Jared, then it moves it to your priority inbox. The filters do.
Right.
So that's why so many emails have a question at the end. Click reply and let me know.
I was going to chime in super quick. The powerful man ones, I remember vividly ignoring them, thinking, you know, like, I'm not going to read that. You slightly remember it exists every time, though. And then there was one topic that piqued my interest. I did click. Suddenly, I'm in a funnel. I set up it like, so it worked. Like, I ignored all of them until one.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it is, right? And so our idea is if we get you on the email list, and this goes for everybody. Sunlight's killing me here, but get you on the email list. You know, then it's the moment of opportunity because not everybody's ready to buy whatever it may be you're selling, whatever, or get on the phone with you or what have you. And so the email allows you to consistently drip in that person's world. So at the Powerful Man, what do? We try to send people to a Facebook group and get them on our email list and hopefully get them on a call. Right. But we're trying to keep you in our ecosystem, whatever it may be. Now we're going to be moving things to LinkedIn and YouTube as well as we expand different platforms, but we're trying to get people going there. Hey, click to subscribe. So if you're on YouTube, you're going to see us. You're going to see us in your email. It's basic branding coming through, and hopefully there's value-driven content there, right? It's not always value-driven content, but we're trying our best to make it so. And then having a training or a webinar is a great way to do this. It's a classic thing that's been done for a long time and it still works, right? It's really building some kind of training or something that's valuable that showcases your expertise and helps the person understand what it is you do. And the best way to do this is helping someone overcome a small obstacle, whatever it may be. right? A small obstacle that's in their life or in their business. And really the best way of doing this is having them overcome a small obstacle that takes them to a bigger obstacle, right? Because you're showing them, hey, I helped you here. Odds are I can help you with something bigger, right? You're opening a loop with this training. That's kind of usually the end goal here, right? And it's just what you do in business, just like a sales presentation. It's the same idea, but a webinar needs to have more training. The nice thing about a webinar is while you're sleeping, it can still be going. The Powerful Man, we have several of these that are going on 24/7, right? All across the world. I can't be there. Tim can't be there, et cetera. And now you get to position yourself, right? Again, we've talked about this before, but you get to be the guide. You're the guide that's got the answers. No one's got all the answers, but you know more than the average person. You know more than probably the average person in the industry. And I guarantee you know more than you think you know about tons of subjects. And most of you have forgotten how much you know, and you've forgotten what it's like to be you 10 years ago, 5 years ago, when you're still trying to figure things out or you hadn't made some mistakes that you've kind of corrected. So this is really where you can position yourself as that guide, you know? I mean, shoot, Steven could talk about cheese, but he could also talk about, hey, feeling stuck in your business, feeling stuck in a career that you don't like. I was scared. I jumped ship. You know, let me show you how so you don't have to make the same mistakes I did. Ever felt about moving from one country to another, not knowing anybody, right? Positioning yourself. Tony can start talking about all kinds of stuff and in general. So really what we're trying to do here is get that clarity. But in the webinar, you don't teach the tactics. That's what most people want to do. They want to go right away to the nuts and bolts, right? What you want to do is really tell the stories, show cares that you have a strategy, the activation method, and then show success stories. Hear client testimonials from guys just like you who came in here and were wondering what the heck is this thing? And ended up working out for him, right? Same kind of idea. It goes and plays over and over and over again. And that's the key, guys. The key here is really telling those stories and getting those stories going through. All right, so how does this become effective, right? So again, setting this up, setting up your first one, and you might fumble through this. We can go through advanced things like the CAP strategy, which I share with you, Greg, and everybody else. Child, adult, parent, making sure all three of those parts of the psychology are hitting it. You should do that in any sales pitch, by the way, guys, going through there, is you have to figure out what's the one belief, right? So what a lot of people do is they try to get people to believe 100 different things, right? Because you can solve 100 different problems, but you want to figure out what's that one thing that if they believe this, all other objections become irrelevant. All other things in the marketplace become irrelevant. So if you're manufacturing medical supplies, well, guess what? I guarantee everybody's scared of getting screwed over in Asia or down in South America. Let me turn this light on real quick. So figure out what that one thing is, right, that can help. What is it they desire the most? With the Powerful Man, what do we do right now? How to save your marriage without talking about it going through, right? That's the big one for us right now, what we're going through. Chris, you look confused. So this wants to be the main focus of your talk. And so here's a constant setup, right, that you want to use. You can write this down if you want to. How to result without fear. How to achieve your goal without, and put whatever fear it is, right? So how to conquer epic mountain bike rides without breaking your neck, right? Or whatever, or, you know, whatever the fear might be in there, you know, or how to invest, how to make $1 million in real estate without getting screwed over, without losing your shirt, or whatever it may be. You guys get the ideas, right? So it's how to result without fear, how to save your marriage, result without, what's the fear here that most of us have as guys? I don't want to sit down and talk about it. I don't want to go to therapy and sit on the couch. That sucked. Oh, how to save your marriage without talking about it. Got it. Boom. There's our next training. Right? And it's really important that you do this. You can make a list of these, but you want to find what that key real objection is going to be. And you turn this into the title of your talk and you use that formula. All right. So here's how you create a killer intro. Right. Has anybody here seen any of the videos that I've done in the Facebook group or anything? No one? Michael? Cool. I'm not expecting you guys to watch them, but most of them follow a formula and they do it because it works specifically. I don't get on those videos because I enjoy them per se. I do it because it works and it helps guys. And that's what I want to do because I've been in that situation. So really what I usually start those off with is talking about their failures and justify them. Michael, it's not your fault, ... right? It's not your fault that this or this happened to you, right? Society's fault. Or I'll start talking about a story about me. When my wife and I, Marion, were going through our hard times, ... right? Everybody's defenses go down then. When I first started in business, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was in my 20s and I started way over my head, right? I didn't have any business mentors, but I sure didn't want anybody to find out. Every business guy can relate to something around those ideas, right? So you want to put their fears to rest, but you also want to throw rocks at your enemies, right? It's not lead generation you need. That's what everybody else tells you. That's not the problem. The problem is your branding or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So throw rocks at their enemies and then confirm their skepticism. This is really important, right? If you've ever thought, look, when I was trying to save my marriage, I tried counselors many times and it didn't work. Every time I walked out of the counselor's room, my wife and I were in a worse mood than we walked in. It made things worse, not better. True story, right? But again, I'm justifying the failures. I'm explaining them as we go through. And you want to encourage their desires. And this can be through anything. I don't care if you're selling cheese, you're selling construction, you're selling medical supplies, you're ranching, it's a service, it's marketing. It all works. It's the psychology of the human. Psychology of the human brain. And then you want to set the intention, right? You're going to go ahead when you're doing this, you're going to remind them of new opportunities that are going to be coming up here for you. What is it that's going to help them achieve their dreams and raise their status? Again, you can do this with any product, shoes, I don't care what it is, any service, all the same. And then you get to tell your story. This is going to be the hardest thing for most of you guys here because most of you guys have been told your whole life, don't toot your own horn. Don't brag about yourself. Doesn't work. You don't have to be a jerk about it, but you need to tell them your aha story. This is the one we talked about the epiphany story. We had that aha moment. That's when I realized, camera's dying here, that it wasn't the marriage that was it. Damn. Can you guys still hear me? Thumbs up if you can. Okay.
You're back. You're good.
All right, Zoom just sent me a thing saying it crashed. So awesome. So figure out your aha moment. What is it for you? Oh, I'm out again. What Zoom's doing?
We're still trying.
Okay.
Yeah, we can hear you. Can hear me. Video is a bit sketchy.
I'm smart enough to know that my video is not why you guys are here. Cool. So we'll go sans video. Give them your aha moment. Talk to them. Remind them that you were just where they were at one point. Because all of you guys were at one point confused. I don't care if it's, you're selling broke, whatever it is. You were confused at one point. But then you had the epiphany and you got the results you were looking for. And it doesn't have to be in your industry. You can relate it to something completely different. And the best guys at this, the best experts, pull from different industries and tell the story that has the same epiphany, the same aha moment, but it's a different subject and they tie it in. you know, and they'll tie it into that. Ah, that's what it was. And there's formulas for this. So we want to hear is come. Remember last week we had you guys get the three objections. You guys are supposed to figure out the 3 to 5 most common objections in your industry or whatever industry you want to be the expert in. This is where we want to pull those out and put these in your training. Because what I want to do is smash your objections before, during this training with stories, before you even get on a call or before you even have the objection, right? I want to call it out in the open right away. If I can do that, I win the game. I got to know what they are though first. But if I can smash through your objections with stories, what is, and some proof, then it works. And we want to work on the method and the external and internal objection. That's why we came up with the triad of connection, the alpha, right? Here's the method. Triad of connection. You're going to have the hidden motive techniques, the clean slate method, the live like a king system. That's the method, right? Then we went through the objections. And then you want to teach the secrets. Who is it? What's the method? And what's the proof? So let's go over the process one more time. I know this is a lot. I'm throwing at you guys quickly. But I want to make sure you guys have this. You guys will all have the recording, obviously, to go through. And I'll make sure I get you the cheat sheets. So the who, this is the pre-frame, right? This is where we're going to capture your audience by telling your story and how you attain the knowledge and wisdom that you have. Right? This pre-frame is going to help you create value of what you're sharing. Right? Who are you? Like, what is your story? How did you get this? Now we're going to go through the what. Right? We're moving things around. We're going to go through what exactly is going on. What is this? And what's your objective? You're leading them on a journey. You're the guide. So imagine if you're doing, you hire a mountain guide, they're going to tell you, hey, look, we're going to go up this ridge. You know, we're going to ascend over here. They're going to give you a preview of coming attractions. You guys want to do this with your pitches as well. Right. And then what we want to do here, then at the how, now I need to know what the principles are. So you get bonus points if you can name this into a framework, a protocol, or something different and unique, right? You want to give them something that's unique that shares what's going on. And then the proof. People are always skeptical. It's $5 a screenshot, Justin. People are always skeptical of what you're pitching to them, what you're selling. It's natural, right? Especially if it's something they want. That's the really weird thing. Because as the ego starts to come in and the ego starts to talk about it, well, you can't do this. This isn't real. I can't really be an expert in this field. Sure, that's good for Tony, but that's not good for me. Sure, that's good, you know, et cetera, et cetera. This is where the proof really comes in. And the more the proof can be around somebody who's real and like them and that they can see themselves in, the better. So in closing, and then we'll open this up for questions. Again, I know this is a lot. The process is actually really simple. You start off on social media, right? Just start. Pick, after you know your avatar, pick your platform. Pick one, maybe two. You can share the same content across both of them, right? Cat memes work on LinkedIn just as well as they work on Facebook, believe it or not. It's the same person that's on Facebook and LinkedIn. They don't change just because they cross platforms. Get them into your email list, right? You control that. If somebody's in your world on Facebook or something else, you have no control. They can drop off instantly, right? Just no control. Get them onto your email list and just create a killer training. Just one training. It doesn't have to be long. And this for me was the one that stopped me the most was, well, I don't know what the training is going to be. I don't know what the value is going to be. And I would always try to over deliver. I would always give too much information. That was the hardest one. When I started really learning the psychology and going deep on this, what I learned was that it really needs to be simple. You don't have to give everybody the answers. You just really need to identify with them. Awesome, guys. So next week, we're going to go over leading the tribe, right? Now that you're building this tribe, these people following you on social media or anywhere else, now that you're the leader, guess what? They need to be led. And we're going to talk about how to actually lead these people and get them where you want to go. See if I can get this to work again. Questions. Who here is actually going to try to do this? Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. What industries are you guys going to shoot after? Anybody, just take yourself off mute. And
obviously, mine's going to be retail, but we're expanding that into a big e-commerce platform. So as we use two social media outlets already pretty regularly, and I kind of built a lot of that on a local level, we're going to start adding YouTube into it too, because YouTube's a great channel for e-commerce for reviews and that. So this is really good. This gives me more structure than I had a great overlook, but this gives me really good structure on when we start doing that next platform to add on to it. And we'll use that for all three of them, but it's going to be really focused for that YouTube to drive sales to the website. So
yeah, I love it. I think YouTube's just going to continue to grow and be more of a dominant player over the next 5 years or so. Do you know who your target avatar is, Chris? I'm just curious.
Yeah, with the e-commerce one, we're still building that because we're in that situation where we're at the Blue Sea and Red Sea, where we play in a really Red Sea right now. And so when we launch this e-commerce, we got to find that person, like that kind of niche into it. And I think I have, it's called the gravel segment, which is kind of like off-road road bikes. Nobody's really doing a great job in that. And it ties in well with what we already do in our mountain bike world. So I think that's what we're going to kind of go into, because that will be a kind of a blue seas that we can jump into and kind of cross market to the people we already have. So that's kind of the idea. So
right on. Cool. I'm looking forward to the YouTube channel. Who else?
Yeah, I think I've got.
Yeah, Stephen, then Keith, please.
Sorry, Keith. We've got two areas that we're sort of pushing into. One is we're starting doing training courses, certification in cheese knowledge, where I think this would fit really well to, like Chris just said, to give us a bit more structure around, you know, saying this is what we've got on offer, and to give a little bit of that knowledge in that sort of, you know, that sort of video form, you know, before we do it. The other angle, which is what I just thought of, the pushing into wholesale, into restaurants. And again, I would never have thought of maybe using video to do that. But that could work really well in terms of, you know, sort of talking to a slightly different audience in the food service industry. So yeah, there's two things we can have there with different, slightly different avatars, I would guess. But I can see that there'd be some good value in both of those, particularly with the educational side.
Yeah, certifications are brilliant, my friend. I think that's something most people can do. My early 20s, I had a business. It was a private wellness studio in Santa Barbara, California. And we're trying to figure out how we differentiated ourselves from personal trainers. So I called everybody a fitness professional, and we had a certification. And so our competitors would come in to try to get a certification from us. And so it immediately positioned us, and we were able to double our rates and be seen immediately as the highest end. Keith.
Yeah, I have a unique one. It'd be interesting to get your feedback on it, actually, Doug. You know, we do a fair amount of this work already for the main company, just in general, creating expertise in medical device. And so that continues down that path. And a lot of the things that we talked about is creating that target customer and targeting them and funneling into Salesforce automation. And that activity just goes. It's a flywheel at this point. But what we're doing now is actually a CEO knowledge leader. And the risk I have here is always maybe a little more aggressive than what is to also, you know, pump Vonco, the main business, and use that as a platform. But where I really want to go with it is to position around business owners and energizing them, and especially struggling businesses. And so creating that knowledge tied to Vonco, use that as a platform because I get a lot of followers there, but also then start using this platform to target, you know, struggling businesses or divisions, division leaders, on how to stay energized during those times.
Love it, man. Yeah. I mean, so you have your perceived authority already. I already run a successful company. Let me show you how. And then that's where you have this other thing, which could be, you know, keysmith.com, you know, whatever.
That's already established. Yeah. So I actually have somebody that does this for me. So, which is nice. It takes that load of content and I just do the list and they send me the stuff, but, that launches here in the second quarter is the keithsmith.com or whatever. Obviously that's common. I forget exactly what it is, but I'll let you guys know when it's all out.
Yeah. Let us know. Yeah. That there's a lot of ways you can leverage it. So let me know if you need any help with that. I've done this a couple of times. It's fun. That's definitely a place I like to play. Anyone else? Jared, did I see your hand up?
I had a question about monetization because I feel like this sounds crazy, but I'm a hard sell and I feel like I do my own homework and I do my own, you know, consumer buying power, if you will. The powerful man is the only thing that I've ever actually clicked through a Facebook ad and ended up paying an amount of money for. So I guess I don't know if that was y'all's brilliance work or the stars aligning or what that was, but my question is how do you get the fence riders like me to actually pay you for a service versus just doing everything for free? Because all these platforms, the internet, everyone expects things for free. And then to pivot that into monetization is a huge hurdle for me to understand.
So yeah, it's a great question. And it's a story. I'll tell you one. One is, it is our brilliance when I took over marketing. the reality is, how do you do it, right? Is you get somebody over there. One is the email marketing is one way you can do it, but people will pay to shorten time, right? People will pay for a formula or a proven technique to go through. There's not one thing any of us does that probably you can't go to YouTube and learn yourself, right? Right. I could go, I just had a wall built, right? You're going to send me your drywall guy. I could go to YouTube and learn how to drywall, or I could pay the guy just to go meet her drywall or what have you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So people will pay for different reasons. So, you know, one is to make more money or save money. Save time is a big one for a lot of us, or have a formula so we don't have to think about it or go through. Sometimes, you know, people pay, they pay attention, right? Everybody's heard that before, but it's true. When you invest, right, you show up. If this was a free talk, right, this is a meaty talk, 90% of you guys wouldn't be here, right? I would have made it super, I would have made it a lot more simple because most people wouldn't be able to sit through this because there's so much stuff. So to answer your question, Jared, like all of it, it doesn't have to be an ad for you, because I know you and I are talking next week, but it doesn't have to be ads, right? It could just be you establishing your authority out there and just content and putting it out there. And it could be mostly for free. You can go listen to The Powerful Man. I think we have, Michael probably knows this, over 300 podcast episodes. And a lot of some of you guys may be with them, but Tim talks to the guys on the front end. I don't. And he'll say, yeah, a lot of guys will go away, say, you know what, all the information's in the podcast. I'm just going to go listen to that. And then they come back 2 months later because they didn't do it. They didn't put it into practice. They didn't have someone coaching them or pushing them. Right. So it didn't work out. It was a loss of time. And some of those guys were like, screw it, man. Like I lost, my marriage is much worse. My family life's much worse. I'm more depressed. Like this isn't working. So there'll always be people who want to do it for free. If you're going into, I'm going to teach you to do real estate, you don't want to work with those people who want to do it for free. I'm not the guy that's going to take the free course. I've got tons of free courses, right? I'd rather pay an expert, show me how to do something and get great results with it.
And do you base your value off, like real estate, the actual asset, you always base value off the comps, you know, do you compare yourself? I'm sure there's a competitor for the powerful man. Do you base your value off what other people are charging, or do you set your own bar?
I recommend setting your own bar, but you should know what your competitors are doing.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll use this. Here I am. I was like in my early 20s. I start a brick and mortar business in Santa Barbara, California. You know, rent is super high. It's up to $4 a square foot, triple net, right? Here, I have no freaking clue what I'm doing. I knew I had to differentiate myself in this business, right? As a wellness studio, personal training, et cetera. So I had to rename myself. Personal trainers, $50 an hour. Well, shit, I can't make this business work at that price point. I need to charge $95. We are now fitness professionals. Can't compare, right? It's harder to compare. What do you do? Okay, we're going to certify. We're the guys that certify your trainer. So if you want to come get real results, come see us. Nothing against the trainers, et cetera. Do you see what I'm saying there? I'll get to you a second, Greg. But you want to change. You can change the playing field of what you're doing. You got to know what your avatar is.
I like how you spin it too a little bit. It's not malicious. It's not saying why other people are bad. It's saying why you're better.
I used to write textbooks for certification companies. I have 18 different degrees and certifications in fitness. Like almost probably more than most anybody in the United States, like legitimately that's what I used to do previously. I got recruited really early when I was really young. So I used that as my leverage. Cause looking at me, I was like, shit, I'm not the bodybuilder. I'm not the guy at the beach who's got the ripping six pack, who's walking around tan. I can't get tan, by the way. I've lived by the beach my whole life. It's a curse. But you know, I just knew that for me, it was my education. Like I knew what to do. And I knew how to get results for other people. So I had to switch it because I wasn't that guy that you see. I hired those guys. There's a lot of ways you can reframe things. Right, Keith's going into a red ocean, in my opinion, right? Helping small businesses, I think it's a great thing. I used to do it. I still do it to some degree. But so Keith gets to figure out what is Keith's blue ocean? How does he get to twist that, right? It's kind of just what Chris was saying, right? How many bike retailers are out there? A lot. E-commerce. You can get bikes from Walmart, all kinds of things, right? And I know that's not what Chris does, but Chris is like, we have identified a blue ocean that we're going to go in and conquer. Greg?
Yeah, I love the red ocean, blue ocean thing. I read that book a while back, and then they published Blue Ocean Shift, which is a great one too. It kind of helps you make that transition. But I struggle with the kind of internal conflict of what I can make a lot of money on in the short term, kind of the shiny object. So my red ocean is I work in biomed. I do a ton of work with device and kind of bio companies, technology companies, and I can continue to grow that and dominate at least within my current circle and probably grow it and be an authority in that space. At least I see a path to it. I don't, you know, but it's just that internal conflict of, is that where I want to be 10 years from now? And, you know, as a storyteller, that's where I struggle is, to, you know, really identifying, you know, do I just throw caution to the wind and dive into the blue ocean, and say, screw it with the other or turn them into the same thing as the other option.
What if there's an and there, not just an or? I would sit down, journal, and find your and see if that, try it on for yourself and see if that resonates. You know what I'm saying? Like, does this feel good? How can I do this and this? What's the way I can do it? Last year, I took a position for 1 year as a CEO of a multinational company. I was still running my business and working with Tim and the Powerful Man, right? Everybody's like, you're friggin' nuts. So I went away and I literally sat down and journaled, how can I do this? Because this is what I want. How can I do this? How can I make this work? Right? And the company that wanted me to be the CEO, they said, look, you got to drop everything, right? We're paying you a lot of money. It was a lot of money. And I said, I'm not doing it. Like, this is what I want. I love to work with you. I'd love to help you. You know, I can help you. I know I can help you. This is a good fit. I'll do it for a year. Right. But I'm not giving these things up. They're just really important to me. This is my legacy work. This is what I want to do. I want to help people. And you know what they said? Okay. It was like, oh, everybody told me I was nuts. All my mentors said, no way. So my point being is look for your and what fills you up. Right. And see what can work there for you. And maybe there's a marriage of the two. And so for a lot of you guys, like you're, you know, how do you create, go from a red ocean to a blue ocean? For a lot of you guys, it's your story. It's an easy way of doing it. Is utilizing and leveraging your story. Because then people are going to actually connect with you on a greater way. And that story is what makes you really unique. And no one can compete against your story. I can compete against Greg in business all day long. But if you all of a sudden you make what's different in the buying decision is your story, I'm fucked. I can't do that. Vice versa. So if you can twist it, that's a key. If you can twist it into your story and that's what makes the buying decision or makes part of the buying decision, then I can't compete against that. As a marketer, as a businessman, that's really tough. Now all of a sudden I got to act, have Greg's story. That's my story. And that's inauthentic. People can smell it from a mile away. We've all seen people get on stage, speak on YouTube or whatever. And you can tell they're just mimicking the other guy who is down the road. And you can tell it's not them.
You just hit me in the gut because, you know, what triggered for me is my stepfather is a neurologist. And 2 years ago, I lost my mom. Both my stepfather and my mom lost them to strokes, a brain stroke, aneurysm. So I experienced about 60 days in the hospital with my mom. And through that, I was, you know, really learning about how disempowered you feel as a patient and how, you know, how important communication is in that process. And so that really in the heart of hearts for me is my story and, you know, part of that at least. And so I can easily connect the dots there. It's not going to be easy to talk about, but yeah, it would definitely help me dominate.
There's no doubt, man. It's not easy for me to talk about problems in my marriage in the past. It's easy now. But the first, you know, just like anybody, you don't want anybody to know. And now all of a sudden I'm going out there and talking about it. It's very, you know, but now it's easy for me and it connects with people because people are like, shit, that's the same thing I went through. It's where we got all that stuff you've probably heard in The Powerful Man. It was stuff I've been through. Have you ever felt like your wife's your roommate, but not even the good one? It's like the bad roommate. The good roommate has beer for you waiting on the couch and the sports game's on and you're ready to hang out. But your wife wants to sit down and talk. No sports, no games, no beer. Right? That's true. But everybody's going, shit, yeah, I've been there. And people are going to resonate with your story, Greg, as well. And it's not easy to talk about. And the harder it is to talk about, the more it's going to resonate. And that's where really, really what people want, right? You know the pain. If you can connect to that pain and say, look, there's something on the other side, or this is why I do this, people are going to get it. And that goes for all of you. Like Jared, I'm sure you've had real estate deals that haven't gone so well, right?
Yeah. I have lost a lifetime of money.
Yeah.
So you but know I that. Would love for people to not have to go through that pain, you know?
As somebody who's interested in real estate investment, I would like to avoid that pain too. Right.
Right.
but you get the idea. So you want to develop that story and your character and who you are. And it can also be an aha moment for some of you guys could be like, look, you know, my marriage was in the shitter. Basically, I was going through hard times in my marriage, not being able to connect with my kids, working insane amount of hours, not taking care of myself. And that's when it realized I can make just as much, if not more money, by doing a small pivot, et cetera, works. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but there's all kinds of elements here. But the key is, guys, you got to do it, right? You have to nail down your avatar. If you go back and look at the first homework type assignment, you got to get it right. Because if you're speaking to the wrong person, then it's not going to work. If I go out and tell my story about business and being married and having kids and the struggles that go through with all that pressure that can be put on you and not being seen, respected, the way that I just felt I deserved by being a provider. And I go talk to a 22-year-old, they're not going to give a shit, right? They don't care. Whatever, bro. You should have gone to the bar and got drunk and picked up somebody else, right? The point is you want to make sure you're talking to the right avatar. You know, if I'm not talking to a business owner, an entrepreneur, they're not going to get it. They're not going to get the risks that are involved, the risks you guys have taken to go out on your own. It's just different. Nothing wrong with it.
I think for me, since joining the Powerful Man, what I've found is even speaking to people face to face and people in my industry, or maybe it's a contractor, or maybe it's a developer, and the conversation kind of changes from, you know, business to personal. So, you know, if they have kids, I have kids, obviously I'm married, they're married. And then for me personally, I've developed, strangely enough, very good relationships with people that I never knew before. And now it's more about, you know, personal side of things more than business. And then the business takes actually a backseat than the personal stuff. And I've gained a lot of business by actually doing that. Because I think people want to see the personal side of you. And for me, that's been a great win.
100%, Tony. 100%. All of you guys, guarantee it, if you've been in Tony's, like people, I hear this all the time when I was running marketing. Doug, I run B2B. It's different. No, you're talking to a human. There's another business owner on the other side, to Tony's point. Or my industry is different. No, it's not. Right? I can guarantee you guys, if whatever business you're in, and all of you, everybody is probably going to have a story around this, whatever business you're in, if you're talking to another married man who's in business as well, they're having or have had problems in their marriage, right? Just the male-female dynamic. And what I've done, which is super weird, right? If you haven't done it before, it's like, you know, once I got comfortable with Tony, like, how's married life going, man? Oh, it's great, Doug. How's it really going? Because I know for me, Tony, you know, running my companies, I had multiple companies, running them, having the kids, having my wife, I felt like we were just ships passing in the night. So I just want to check in with you, man. Everything good? And Tony may still blow it off, but I guarantee Tony goes home and thinks about, that guy fucking cares. And the truth is, I do. And now I'm definitely different than all the other contractors in New York that that guy's talking to, right? Or whatever else it may be. But do it what's authentic to you, right? I love teaching. I love helping people. I've been starting ever since I was in college, all the careers and jobs I've taken are all around that. I love coaching. I've been doing it for 20 years. So that's authentic to me, to care about somebody and want to help. And it's not for everybody. But find out what's authentic for you.
Got another one, Doug. Yep. I'm like Jared. The Powerful Man is the first thing I ever clicked on that I paid for, and it, really the podcast, like every your videos, whatever it is, I get hooked. Like I want to keep diving in deeper. But what is it that business owner, are there, like, you know, going back to like the needs and the deep kind of motivations, are there just a few things that business owners you found are, you know, respond well to? I mean, obviously sex and marriage is a big one, but outside of that.
Yeah. So before the Powerful Man, I did coaching on my own, right? And that's what I did. And that's actually how Tim and I found each other, so to speak, going through there, right? High ticket coaching, 200. So right now, if you went to my site, it says, hey, minimum 200K a year. It's a minimum reinvestment. And I share that with you only because I have one tagline. get unstuck and gain clarity, right? Every business owner feels stuck, right? That's one. Everyone would love some clarity. What do I freaking do next? Has anybody here not felt stuck in their business? Like you were just, I'll use an analogy. So this is exactly what we use. Do you ever feel like sometimes you're stuck in mud and you hit the gas working harder, coffee, energy drinks, long nights, long days. The wheels are just spinning in the mud and you're not going anywhere. The engine gets worn out, right? Every business owner. What else? Most business owners, not all of us, most of us sit on our ass all day on our chair and we start to get a little pudgy. We start to get our hips a little tight, right? We're starting to feel a little creakier than we need to be. Yet we're working our butts off, you know? And then there's stories. Meanwhile, the other guy who got a stable paycheck is able to go to the gym, right? So now I'm in health. So I can pick, but those are common ones for business owners. Feeling stuck in business, relationships, right? Again, if you go back to those ideas, wealth, health, relationships, those three categories, and you look at those are common ones. And you can come up with a bunch of side topics around that. You know, that apply to your industry or just in general. Look, the best way, guys, is what are your frustrations? Like, what do you like when you wake up at 2 a.m.? I call it the 2 a.m. conversation. And I'm sure I got it from somebody. I'm not sure where, but I've also been there. When you're up at 2 in the morning and you're just, your mind's racing 100 miles an hour, what is it that's popping in your head? Here's another one that every business owner complains about: staff. Every business owner complains about their staff. They're not doing enough. Am I paying them too much? All of these things at one point or another.
A question on that. The company I kind of inherited the shitstorm, we had 300 employees at one point. So I was 24, had 300 employees. I'm down to 30. I want to be down to zero by the end of this year. Is that wrong of me? I mean, can people make money and have successful businesses without a shit ton of employees?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got so burnt out of the gate of having employees being thrown into the fire like that I just don't want any responsibility anymore of other people's lives. But I also think it's kind of counterintuitive because it's like, it's not growing your business, it's shrinking your business.
I know people that run 9-figure companies off outsourcing.
Yeah. I've heard that.
You know, it depends on what you do, what your margins are, what your prices are, right? And your structures, but you can outsource it, right? And you have outsourced contractors. Now they're kind of like employees, obviously check, you know, there's laws in the United States. They're very specific about what is an independent contractor, what is not, right? You can't tell them what time to work, how to do their work, what equipment to use, what, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, you could run it all with contractors. Or have one key employee, right? One key employee.
Right.
I have a woman that's been with me for 10 years, right? She kind of, wherever business I go in, she's in, right? She comes with me. She'll be here in a little bit.
Got it.
Right? She might be walking through soon with her dog. So she is my key, is the kind of the key for me. And she's my get the shit done kind of person. But you could, you can run it any way you want to. Also, just check in with yourself maybe on why you don't want any employees. That might be some growth opportunities in that.
That's ego.
But there's stress with employees, right? Like there's many times in business where I didn't pay myself, but I paid my staff for a long time.
I always use the analogy, and you can steal this one, but you know, the business owner is he's the last to sit down at the table. He's the last to eat, but he gets all the seconds, you know, and it's, there were times where we couldn't pay anybody else or we couldn't pay ourselves, but we paid everybody else, never missed payroll, you know?
Yeah. Super for Greg, that's super common for business owners. Right. But what happens for a lot of guys, unlike you guys, is resentment builds up.
Mm-hmm.
They start resenting their employees. They start resenting having them. Right. They don't appreciate, same thing with the marriage, right? They don't appreciate me. They don't know how much hard work I'm putting into this business for them. Right. They should appreciate me more, et cetera, et cetera. So for men, we want to be seen as significant. It's usually number one thing that men want is significance. Women typically want security. Typically, right? Not always. What we've tried to do for you guys through the Powerful Man, especially in the Brotherhood, is change significance to be a little less important and love and connection to be a little bit higher up there on the ranking, which has changed a lot of things for you guys. Doesn't mean you don't want to be significant. Doesn't mean women don't want to be. But your wife, the women in your life, they want, most of them want security first. Certainty is really the word I'm looking for. Right? They want certainty from you, et cetera, et cetera. So in knowing that, you can position things differently. This is where while I was talking to Steven, this is where certification comes in. I'm going to go to Steven's cheese shop, not because I really like cheese as much, because I want to look significant when I show up to the wine party with a great bottle of wine and some kick-ass cheese that I can talk to people about. Because it makes me feel significant. It makes me feel important. It's nothing to do with the freaking cheese. But if Steven gets that and he starts certifying people, people get certifications because it makes them feel significant. A lot of people collect degrees, right? Because it makes them feel significant. It's temporary, but you can use that with selling stuff and what you're doing. And you know what the law is about creating a certification? There's none.
But isn't that counterintuitive for you to say, like, I have 18 certifications, but there's no law for the certifications? I mean, what, like, I don't know. I'm not saying your certifications are bullshit, but what prevents,
but I am. No.
You see what I'm saying? Like, what prevents people from just bullshitting their certifications?
Integrity.
Okay.
Right. So I used to write certification textbooks for the International Sports Science Association. At 21 or 22, I was the assistant director of education. Pretty friggin' easy to pass the test when you wrote it.
Yeah.
And I also, I came out of college with a minor in exercise health science and a minor in fitness instruction with the emphasis on strength and conditioning. So I was going down that path, training elite athletes right out of college. So I went out and got, and companies hired me as a consultant for fitness to get paid to do it. So I did, that's what I did in my 20s, sold my facility and moved to transition to my mid 30s. Had kids, started drinking a lot of beer, got fat again. But no, but so you can have them. So I use the certifications for marketing because I couldn't differentiate myself. I literally had men's fitness cover models working out of my facility. Legit. Right? There's no way two people are walking in the gym. One person looks at me, looks at this guy and goes, who do I want to look like? I wasn't going to win that ever in a million years. I had an ex-NFL football player work for my gym. Huge guy. Just gigantic. Women were just gorgeous. Yeah, point being, I had to, CJT, I had to differentiate myself. So I had to use the education part. Just what I had to do. Awesome, guys. What I'm going to encourage you guys to do is just make sure you get the fundamentals, right? Get the avatar done more than anything. Post the avatar worksheet, your results in the group. Michael's an expert at this, by the way. He's being quiet over there. I'm sure he's biting his tongue because Michael could lead this whole thing. But I'm sure he'd be able to give you guys and look at it and give you a second pair of eyes. I'd be happy to. Like, who is that? And you want to drill it down. And what's going to happen is you're going to go wide. Everybody does. Try to bring it back into narrow as best you can. As best you can. That fits. And more often than not, one of the avatars on your worksheet should be you 3 to 10 years ago. For most all of you. Not everybody, but most of you. And just consider that as a person, because you know that person pretty well, and you definitely know that person's 2 a.m. conversation. Tony, anything else from you?
There was one more thing. you mentioned about professionally designing the Facebook and LinkedIn ads. Can you just rattle off one or two companies that actually does that? Or could I just Google it and it'll pop up? Or
no. So if you're doing ads, Michael.
No, to update the Facebook
cover.
The cover, yeah, all that type of stuff.
So Fiverr is a really cheap way of doing it.
With two R's. Fiverr.
You can find, I mean, a lot of companies have their entry thing. It's really inexpensive. You can look at the reviews. You're going to pay anywhere between $5 and $30. Everything used to be $5 on there, hence Fiverr. As it's grown, it's gone up. That's where I would go.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yep. Aaron, anything from you?
I had one comment. I don't know if I want to take us in a tangent, but an interesting observation I've made about Powerful Man and you specifically, I always laugh to myself. I don't know if you guys are like multimillionaires or if you're like dudes doing this out of your basement because it's your passion. And I've sort of liked to some degree that I don't know, because that part isn't relevant to what we're doing here. But you have a good way, like every now and then you drop in a comment to like legitimize yourself. And I know historically, I really dislike that when people do that. Like the peacocking really turns me off. And in one of your podcasts, you and Tim sort of spoke to that, like a powerful man doesn't talk about it. It's sort of the softly spoken like assumption. But you make those comments in a way that makes me not hate you. Like, to joke, like, and I can't put my finger on it, like what it is about your tone or what you're doing. But you have a good way of like casting yourself as someone who's legitimate and that we should listen to without being pompous about it. And I wish I could quantify that and describe it, because it, like, I want to carry that tone too, if that makes sense. Does any of that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you don't hate me, but thank you. And I do sometimes purposely, right? With the flow of the conversation of what I'm trying to say. Right. So
I think there's intention from you. Like, I think you mean to do it. I just wish I could describe what you're doing and replicate it. You know what I mean?
Sure. So I'm trying to figure out so this goes into persuasion a lot more than anything else. I know Tim did some stuff on persuasion, and maybe I'll do a more advanced thing on persuasion. But in coaching, I call it, and I do this when pitching and everything else, planting seeds. What I do by planting seeds. So if we're ever in a one-on-one coaching session, or even these groups, so I do it a lot, is I plant seeds. Because if I tell somebody what to do or what to think, everybody's going to go, no way. All of you guys have a strong inner teenager. I do, right? You're like, yeah, whatever. I got here on my own. I know what to do. But if you make that your own decision and your own choice, then you'll take action on it. So in coaching, it's a great way of doing it. Great to do with your kids, your wife too. So when I'm doing it, I'm doing it in a story manner where I drop something about my past or what have you, but then I do what's called rolling over it. I move on right away. Cause I'm really not doing it to brag at all. I'm doing it just to add context, but then also add some legitimacy to whatever it is we're talking about. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. And you mix in like I'm not the good looking guy. Like I remember that was one of Tim's things. Forget what he called it, but almost like the self-neg. So you're not bragging, like you touch on something bad as well, but you definitely touched on the positive thing that shows us you're legitimate for what you're saying as well. And I, like, that's a very powerful combo. Like,
yeah, well, yeah.
To me, you know.
Dude, no, yes, 100%. Like, you're preaching to the choir. I feel the exact same way. My dad pounded in my head as a child, don't ever take advice from somebody who drives a shittier car than you, who wears a shittier watch than you, who has shittier shoes than you. Yeah. Don't take their fucking advice. And not to talk shit, but Doug, I guarantee you I have a better watch than you, a better car than you, and better shoes than you. However, I'm the one taking your advice. You're not taking my advice. And it's because you're fucking authentic and you resonate, man. And dude, like, you are breaking every ego mold, whatever you want to call it, I have of who I'm supposed to take advice from. This whole thing has.
You don't like my $20 watch?
Right?
I have a funny story about a watch. I'll tell you sometime.
I got rid of all mine. So if that's anything, I finally realized Mark Cuban actually said, he goes, you know, when you're the boss, you don't really care what time it is. And after that, I had 50 grand worth of watches. I sold them all.
I had a client give me a $10,000 watch. I've worn it once. And that was like 7 years ago. Just not my thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, thank you. Michael, what do you think about me?
A little sketchy. Somewhere in the Atlantic in your private submarine.
Yeah. But anything else from you?
Nothing comes to mind. I mean, yeah, you did a great job. I think you covered everything. I don't have anything to really add. I'm definitely happy to look over anybody's avatar worksheets or have a chat with you guys if you got questions. Good stuff.
Awesome. Justin, how about you, buddy? Anything from you?
I'm just sucking it all in, trying to go review my notes at the same time, and also being distracted by looking at Fiverr and looking at your home webpage. So.
Awesome.
Oh, sorry about that. Yep. Nope. We're good.
Cool. I heard you. Yeah. Cool. Guys, I'm going to put a cheat sheet, a social media checklist or cheat sheet. I'll put that into the replay so you guys can have it. You can run through it on your own social media. But if you have staff, especially C-suite staff or people who are forward facing, I'd run through it on them too. Because even if Tony's going out talking, making all these business relationships, eventually they're going to talk to Susie or somebody else in the business. And you want to make sure, you know, she's not taking bong rips on Facebook or, you know, what have you. If it's client facing. David, how about you, buddy? Anything from you?
No, it's really good stuff. I've been kind of toying with working on kind of LinkedIn, like kind of persona sales type deal. This is just really good information to know that I was heading in the right direction.
Awesome. Cool. Jared, how about you? Anything else?
Too much, but yeah, no, you're good, man. I this is inspiring. It really is.
Cool. Awesome. Looking forward to Wednesday.
Yeah.
Greg, how about you, bud?
No, I just put in there time on camera. One of the things that helps me a lot is just going back and seeing how I show up on camera. And I think I come across as one way, but it helps to just get some of that. It'll help, you know, in your communication style, I think.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So something with you talk about camera is I had a client that didn't want to get on camera when I was just doing one-on-one coaching. And I didn't want to get on camera either. And so I challenged myself. I shared this within another video too. And I challenged myself to do 365 videos called Daily Growth Hacks. You can still see them. They're horrible, but I did it. Right. And now I'm just super comfortable, right? Being a camera. It just doesn't bother me because I've done just too many reps. Just get all the, you're going to have shitty ones. So just get them out of the way. Right. Just might as well start now.
I did a video one time and hired, you know, two guys on my team filmed me, and it was the first one where I went on camera. 20 years of filming other people, it's the first one I did, and I completely locked up. I just was a total jackass. They still rip me for it.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing, right? Awesome, guys. So like anything, guys, it's all about taking action. Anything you do, right? Easy to watch these things, easy to think about them, easy to mull them over, but there's some actionable steps here. I'm going to tell you, most people aren't going to do. Most people are not going to do their avatar worksheet. Most people aren't going to actually figure out the objections. I implore you just to do those. That will drive things so much further for you and your businesses. Awesome, guys. I'm going to get back to my submarine, Michael. And have an amazing rest of your day, guys. I'll chat with you guys soon. Take care.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.